Let's go. Let's go. We're live. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? That was fun. That was like the longest delayed live countdown ever. What up, Drew Landefeld, the lunatic himself?
What's up? How are you doing, guys?
We got to talk about where you're at, first of all. What's up? What's this background?
Working. So I figured I'd spare my lunch break to talk to you fine fellas.
What Dude, does a lunatic do?
I'm manager at a hotel. Manager at a hotel.
You're the smiliest I've ever seen you. You're so happy. I love
it. Yeah, dude. I'm about to get in a fight next week, and like I'm pumped. This is sick.
Yeah, but you also have Saturday night to contend with, too. I thought you'd get in a fight somewhere else.
Maybe,
but that's like spur of the moment. I know this one's happening.
Yeah. That's unplanned.
Yeah. Like the blood work's done, all the crap that needs, you know, the annoying stuff is done. That's the cool part.
The hay is in the barn, as they say. Beautiful.
Now that Danny Palm's doing the paperwork and making sure you guys get all your paperwork turned in, does he harass you?
He's good. He just doesn't read the text message. I was like, dude, it's not working. I tried. I promised. Like, I actually tried. And he was like, dude, it just takes 2 minutes. Just like, do it real quick. I'm like, dude, I tried. It wasn't working. He was like, all right, my bad. All right, and then it ended up working today. But I tried to fill out like 8 times the one form. It just wasn't working. I might be bad with technology, but also sometimes it just doesn't work.
Sometimes, you know. Hey, Danny Palm doesn't put up with shit, though. I'll tell you that.
I know. I like that. I like that about him. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, don't try Danny Palm, dude. He's ready to scrap at all times. He's like the lunatic himself.
He's our lunatic.
That's awesome.
So, dude, you're a week out from the fight. How do your nerves, like, ramp up? Like, what state are you in? Obviously in a really good mood tonight. Like, do you get more excited than nervous? What's the feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're always going to be nervous when you're getting in a fight, but it's just more – I mean, what's getting nervous is, like, what's working yourself up about it, right? Like, I'm going to get in there and do the same thing. It's like, might as well have fun with it, like – it's fun. Like I do this for fun. I do want to be a pro, but also I love fighting. Like if I ever stop fighting and don't love it, like if I stop loving it, I'll probably stop fighting too. You know, when I stop smiling going in there, it's business, but always, I love it, man. It's like this working sucks. And then I can get to cage and fight people. I was like, this is sweet. Like,
it seems most fighters get more nervous when they're like cornering their friends rather than their
actual. Oh, it's the worst. 100%. Because you can't control anything. So, like when Ben Schwager, when I corner Ben, I'm like terrified. Even though he's a beast, it's just like, I'm just like, can't, because I can't help him. You can't help that person. You can help him so much, give him, you know, strategic advice, but it doesn't matter when they're in there. They're going to do what they want. So. Yeah, that's cornering someone's, I think, is worse, to be honest.
G-Lu in the hizzy here.
My man.
G-Lu.
Newest sponsor, G-Lu. Got him on the shorts.
My man G-Lu is one of the most avid supporters of regional combat sports and local fights. Us, I mean, he supports it all, man. Is there a better guy in the space?
He sees – whatever, like he sees something in a fighter and then he'll just be like, that I love that guy. And that's what I love about him. He just sees different things in like fighters, like Elijah. He's sponsoring Tariq. There's like so many cool guys that he sponsors. I was like, you know, yeah. So I love Gary.
I love it when I see like someone I don't even know who they are, like they're not in Pittsburgh, they're like somewhere else, and he's like all about them and like loves them. And I'm yeah. like, that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he sponsors Matt Adams. This dude, I think he's from, I forget, from or in Ohio, oh, exactly. Ohio. I don't even know.
He's from
Ohio. Yeah, somewhere in Ohio, but he fights for LFA, and then it's just like, it's just ran, yeah. So that's awesome.
G-Lu can't be stopped, man. He supports it all the way, and obviously, like you said, supporting you this time going in. But you're a guy who flies your sponsor's flags very proudly, man. What's that support feel like when you go into a fight?
Oh, dude, it's awesome. Between, you know, having being an amateur, having to even just the little things, pay for blood work and, you know, my training sessions and all that stuff. It's without these sponsors, I don't think I could even make it to the fights as an amateur. So that's they're everything.
Well, that's one thing you learn in this business is like, if you don't really want to do this, like, just stop. Like, you have to want to do it. You have to want it because like the commission's going to make you do a bunch of stuff in order to be able to compete. And like, it's all stuff you don't want to do and you pay money and you do it like you got to want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, you're a guy, you kind of hinted at it earlier, but you're a guy who doesn't necessarily need an excuse to fight. So when you can do it sanctioned in a cage in front of a huge crowd, how good is
that? Best feeling ever. Yeah. Winner, anytime I've ever fought, win or lose, I look back at it and I'm proud and I'm happy. I've put in a lot of work in training camp, you know, win or lose. So you know how much work you put in and you are always going to be the determined after the fight. You know how much work you put in and sometimes it just doesn't work out. And sometimes I'll have the best training camps and I'll still lose a fight and that sucks. That's like the worst feeling. Like you have like the best training camp, like, oh, nothing could go wrong, and then still lose a fight. But you know, it's, you know how much work you put in, so it's worth it. Makes you feel better.
Good or bad, like, what are some Drew Landefeld like most memorable cage moments? Like, what sticks out to you?
Like in the Logan Fink fight, I feel like I was dominating the fight, and I honestly don't know where it went wrong. It was like so quick that it felt like it turned. And I think I was just using too much energy and wasn't pacing myself, but I felt so good in the fight. And then to, you know, be choked out and then just be like looking up, it's just like bad, like this is the bad feeling. Like, what the hell? Like, just confused, more confused. Just like, how did that just happen?
When you watch that over, like when you watch that back the first time, was it like, oh, that's how that I see how that happened now.
Yeah, I think I was just using too much energy when I was watching. I was like, yeah, you need to chill out on your punches, pick your shots more. You know, I was just throwing instead of picking my shots, you know, moving my head, doing that stuff. And that's what you learn when you keep fighting, which is so cool. That I think having amateur fights is so important, and some people don't need them or, you know, can progress quicker, but you get so much better. You're going to see so much more out of me this fight. So that's just what I'm excited to show, win or lose.
Are there any other core cage moments that like pop into your mind first?
Fighting Timbo, there's a bunch there. Like, you know, just like bleeding from like, you know, bleeding from my eye and like his, so I couldn't see from my eye because I think like his ponytail or something like hit my eyeball because the cut was down here, but something hit my eye. So I couldn't see, but I didn't want to say, you can't see, because then everyone starts freaking out. But I was just like, yeah, give me a minute, guys. Just give me a minute. I try to like word everything correctly, but when you're in a cage, it's hard to word everything correctly to make sure everything, you know, just like, so I remember that. And I was just like, come on, like be able to see. It was just more annoying. Like, I can't see right now, but it'll be good. And then like, luckily the cut was here, so they didn't even know about that. But I was like, give me a minute. So they thought I was just like being a sissy with the cut. I was like, no, I just couldn't see because like I got in the corner of the eye. But then it, boom, like right when the round started, I was fine.
Would you rather your fights be like super cordial like that? Or would you rather like not really like the guy? Like, what's your preference?
I honestly don't really care because once you get in there, it doesn't matter about not liking him or whatever. Like, I'm punching you in the face, you're punching me in the face. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. And a lot of the guys I fought don't
get motivation.
Not really. And I think it's bad if you get extra motivation because that's when you're like not thinking as much, maybe not breathing, not like as clear headed. I think it's almost worse if you want to go out and like kill the guy.
Well, that's what, when I remember watching, you know, being obviously a Cody Garbrandt fan and watching when he went up against Dominic Cruz, that was what I was afraid was going to happen. And the exact opposite happened. Like he handled everything perfectly. And
perfect.
It was like, I believe that to be like one of the best all-time UFC performances, like just such a great performance. But he did the opposite of what I expected, him to lose his cool and like be emotional.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a good point. Just like things like that. And if you can, a fight is a whole thing, but there's like the mental game that people don't even think about, that we go into the Conor McGregor, he'd win the fights even before he got in there just by mentally winning, you know, just before. So if you can mentally go in there and think of all this stuff and slow everything down, that's what I would recommend to anyone who wants to fight or is getting into fighting. If you can slow everything down, you'll be 1,000 steps ahead of anyone, like right away. If you can just find that Zen state and just slow down, it's just so hard with adrenaline pumping, never doing it, da da da, and stuff like that. So I'm just, every time I get in the cage, I'm just grateful that building my skills, and I can feel myself getting better and getting to the level that I know I display in the gym sometimes. And then I get in the cage and you guys don't see it. And it's fine, because I just need to keep getting in there and I'll show it. You guys will see it.
Yeah. The day I see an AMI debut, slow it down.
It's almost impossible. I get it. But if that's why I try to, like this guy from my gym, Matt, he's doing a kickboxing fight this weekend. I was like, dude, I know it's hard, but just try to slow everything down. Just like, slow it down. And it's, like you said, if you can try that, but in like my first fight, no one really like told me that, right? When I was walking to the cage, my first fight, you'll like this one, Ryan. I was walking to the cage, like, you guys want some water? And I don't like to swear, but they're like, I was like, fuck water, like walking into the cage. and then after the first round, I couldn't feel my legs. The adrenaline dump was on. I was like, damn, that water would be real nice right now. Drink your water. If you have a first fight, drink your water, you know, slow it down. Just,
dude, yeah, it's... Adam Sandler would be so upset with you here.
I know.
Yeah.
Asking for Gatorade.
Yeah,
and here I'm drinking Powerade. He'd be pissed at me too. I can't be having that. But dude,
I got that Gatorade water, but it's still water. Get my at least a gallon of water in too. Even like that stuff. That's my biggest thing, honestly. If I can get my water, get my sauna, make sure I'm doing my sprints and everything, I think I'm gonna be unstoppable. It's just, you know, trying to work 12 hours sometimes and make sure that also gets done is hard, but. It helps when you're going to get punched in the face in, you know, a month or two. It's like, all right, well, it makes me get to the gym easier.
Yeah. Yeah. You got some motivation, man. And this fight's been a long time coming. And I mean that not just in the matchup itself, but you haven't fought since February. And I feel like you've been trying to fight at least 3 times in between, and just a series of unfortunate events has kept you out of the cage. So
Got like mono and then Lyme's disease back to back, and they really didn't know. I was just going to the ER. I was really sick, and I just kept going to the ER. They didn't know what was wrong. They're like, you're fine, you're fine. I'm like, all right, well, I don't feel fine. Then they would send me home. I'd go back, and then later they could see from my cells or something that it ended up being mono. They're like, oh, you just had mono, it looked like, that. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. So it was for like six months I really didn't have energy. So I couldn't really train, even working. It was like, I would just use everything to go to work, come home, sleep. I'd want to wake up, go back to bed right when I woke up. So it was pretty terrible. And now that I have my energy back, I think I'll have my energy back. It's just like, all right, this is great. Cause you, when it's happening, you don't feel like it's ever going to come back. It's like when Kaznak got sick or something like that, he was like crying and he like didn't want, you know, one of the badass people in the world was literally crying and everything. Thought he was going to fight again because of how sick he was. That's kind of like, you know, I don't think I was that sick, but it was felt like that energy wise. So good to be back training again.
Bro, Lyme's disease is no joke. I think people kind of underrate it, but if you look at a really famous example in MMA, Jim Miller got it. I don't know if you've read up on that or were aware of that, but Jim Miller had a stretch in his career. It was around, I know he fought Diego Sanchez and lost at that time when it was undiagnosed. So he was just fighting through it. And he was like, why am I tired? Like, I know I'm training a lot, but I'm like extra tired for some reason. Like something's wrong. And then finally they figured it out. But he had a few fights where like it was undiagnosed and he just clearly wasn't himself. So like, you can see it even in a top level athlete like that, man, it's just devastating. So like, what were you feeling besides the tiredness? Like what made you think, I'm not just tired and training, but like something's actually wrong?
Yeah, you just feel like, well, super tired. So like when Jim said that, like it makes it like, like, I'm training hard, but like something just doesn't feel right when like, it's so tired. That doesn't feel right. And then like I would like go to like throw like a punch or something like that. And like my arms would just like feel weak. Right. Like my whole, like my bones, I was like, I feel like I'm like 50 years old too. Like something like wasn't right. And actually while I was in the hospital, they said my spleen like moved over or something like that, a couple centimeters or something. So they said if I was fighting at that time and got hit in the spleen, I could have died because of the mono and stuff like that. So it was good I wasn't training. So stuff like that when you're sick, like, is scary. So that's, I guess that's important why you get physicals and blood work and stuff. Makes sense.
It matters. I saw Ryan's face when you mentioned feeling 50. I think, how's that feel, Ryan?
I really wish I only felt 50. That'd be awesome. I remember like 10 years ago feeling 50.
I was going to say 70, but I felt like that felt a little bit
strange.
Dude, I got people will love this. Obviously, any Drew Landefeld fan tuning in will love this. So, like, as you're saying that, you know, even just throwing a punch made you feel like you were 50. Let it be known that all throughout this time, pretty much every card we had, Drew was hitting me up like trying to get a fight. Like, you wanted to fight the whole time. Like, let's just throw it out.
I was just like hoping my body would like get better. And I was working with Chris Williams a lot too. And then my work schedule changed so I couldn't work with him as much. But he helped me out a lot too with my striking. So I'm about to show that too next Saturday, which will be sweet.
Dude, what do you have to say about that dude?
Dude, so that dude's the man. He just like has so much knowledge, you know, and that's, I think he should just work with every gym in Pittsburgh, which he pretty much does ish.
Yeah.
But like, you just have a, work with every gym in Pittsburgh, go around, help everyone. His footwork's phenomenal. Just
that.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think everyone just needs to utilize him. That if he'll work with you, that's, you got to get with him. No, especially like wrestlers too, is he'll just elevate your striking so much.
Yeah. Dude knows what he's doing, to say the least. Yeah. But I think you're a guy too that does do a lot of cross training and stuff. Where have you spent the majority of this camp, and like where has your training been this time? Because I know you're
it's been mostly at Rival. My work schedule has been terrible this camp. And then I had a couple injuries too in the beginning, endish November. So I didn't know if I was going to be able to take the fight. But then I went to the doctor. He said, you're good. And I was like, that's what I need to hear. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was like, perfect. Well, this usually doesn't go this easy. So that was cool. I was good there. So just ready to get to it.
Nice. Well, go ahead, Ryan.
Is there any like additional motivation this fight? Is this just another fight? Like where are you at with that?
No, just another fight now. Like I respect, Mike Wilkins will be coach cornering Max, and I respect him a lot. So, you know, all respect to him and his team. Let's see who can do it better.
It is
kind of like the Tariq. It's kind of like that Tariq and Zach matchup, you know. It's no bad blood. They just want to see who can get it done.
Yeah. Do have you fought another local guy before?
No, me and Lucas tried to fight, then he got hurt. Then they tried to get Tim, and then he couldn't fight because of the blood work didn't come in on time. And then the stuff with Miguel didn't work out. So it's been a long time coming for me to fight a stout guy. So it'll be good. It'll be a good fight.
It really has been, man. It's been a crazy, oddly enough. And I know, like, go ahead.
And I know Lucas works with Max a lot, you know, so I'm excited. So, like, he probably has a lot of, you know, a lot of tricks up his sleeve and a lot of stuff to show. So, it's going to be exciting, man.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I wanted to highlight was, like, Max specifically, he fought your boy and your friend in Val Caruso. Like, how much did you watch that fight? What did you take away from that?
Yeah, I just I think Val's style against Max – doesn't really work out. He's like really pushes the pace. Max likes to sit there and counter and stuff like that. I like to take my time a little bit more and stuff like that. So I think it'll be a better stand-up match. Val clipped him a couple times though coming in there. So, you know, I know he can be hurt. It looked like he clipped Val a couple times, so I know he has power as well too. So I just know I need to be cautious as well there too. You know, really just feel it out. I think it's going to be a really technical fight, and then it'll get gritty when it needs to.
Love that. I think Artis Smith, who's fighting Evan DeRussi, and he's a welterweight title fight on this card, and he had a quote about feeling scared going into the card and how he likes that feeling of danger to a degree. And you just saying, you know, Max clipped Val a few times. Does that excite you, knowing like any one mistake could be the last one you make?
Yeah. Yeah. Like my friends or family are coming out there and I don't want them to see me laying on the floor. So like, I better be on my game.
Does it make you feel better that there's a sniper with a bullseye on your forehead?
Yeah, that makes me feel awesome. Thanks, Hunter.
Some guys like it. Hey, so, and hey, if we were taking betting odds, like which fighter likes that feeling the most?
It's the lunatic.
It's the lunatic. Come on.
I mean, it should be like, you know what it is. Does it make you feel awesome that you're the guy that's the sniper? Like, come on.
Well, that's
come on,
that's the other side of the coin in this dance, is any shot in this game could be the last. So how exciting is it knowing in, like, you can halt Max's momentum as well?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's great. I just think it's going to level us both up. So I think that's the best part about it. I'm just excited, you know, get a couple more amateur fights and go pro. I just have so much more to show that I'm just glad I can be, you know, fighting. I just want to stay active, stay healthy, not get injured and stuff like that. That's right. What I'm praying for. That's it.
Which of you guys are like movie buffs? Who's going to name this quote? Who do you think?
Me.
Yeah, okay. You think you got it? Okay, ready? Our conversation previously made me think of this quote, but it's, what does it feel like to kill a man? Do you know what that is?
The way you said it made me think of Scarface, but I don't recognize it from Scarface. Scarface.
But it was a female that said it, so I don't know that I could make it. It was Pulp Fiction.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I guess
a movie I've actually seen. Yeah, a movie I've actually seen several times and still didn't remember.
I figured you both saw it. It's
I know. That's yeah.
That's a big fail.
Sorry, everyone, for my awful.
That was pretty bad. Oh, yeah, which character bad. Says it?
It was like the girlfriend that, like, a girl that Bruce Willis was with, because she knew he killed someone.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, now I got to rewatch Pulp Fiction, I guess.
But, me too. That's what I was just thinking.
I think as a responsible parent, like, I should watch it with my 17-year-old for the first time.
It's good timing. 17's plenty. Caden, yeah. 11. I don't know about that, but Austin's ready.
What about Logan? You always forget about the middle child.
Logan's like, I don't know. I think Logan's ready too. Personally, he'd be all right.
So Drew, what's the prediction for the, don't give me this, oh, I'm just gonna go in there like I'm gonna do my best, as long as I get my hand raised. Give me a solid prediction.
I already did. Second round TKO. I did it on Luke Payson's yesterday.
See, second round TKO. Well, you picked. So is it like a punch that takes him to the ground and ground and pound? Is it? Like,
no, I think I'm going to be outpointing him on the feet, and then he's going to try to shoot to switch it up. I'm going to stuff the shot, go around, get not, I don't want to say too much, but just do my ground and pound and finish up.
And then get him good.
Get him good, yeah. Yeah. Give him the old 1-2, you know? 1-2.
The old 1-2.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so fun. I mean, it's an awesome fight. I think that's what makes it so exciting, is not only the local versus local aspect, but like just skill-wise, this is a really fun matchup. And I think it's going to separate kind of the men from the boys, to say it that way. Like, it's going to prove who's ready for that next step, which is really exciting.
I think when people are going to see this fight, they'll be like, damn, like that's what fights should be like, you know?
That's what I'm talking about.
When Val and him fought, I for the announcers, I forget it was Ethan Goss. Like, this, like, that was the most exciting round of the night. That was the most exciting round of the year. You know, it just, like, I think it's going to be one of those.
Yeah. So you fought that same night, and that was a great crowd against Timbo, dude. How was that night for you? Because I know it was tough getting to that fight as well. Like you said, you were coming off that Logan Fink loss. Then you had those two canceled fights back to back, those Muay Thai fights for stout fights. And then you finally got in there against another dog like Timbo and got to show out. What was that night like for you?
I think it was really exciting, dude, because, like, I think everyone downplays Timbo's submission of the year and then me submitting him. I mean, like, where the hell are my meat bucks right there? Like, done. But what's going on here, boys? No, but for real, like, Timbo's a dog, and he outworks people, and, like, he's, you know, grinded people out and have had awesome finishes. And I did the same thing to him and showed I'm a dog and I'm ready. You know, I'm always down to bang. So wherever the fight goes, feet, ground, let's go.
Let's go.
This fight's so hyped, dude. I mean, every time you fight, it's like a fight of the night nominee just by the fact of you being in it. I think everybody knows that at this point. What does it feel like for you, though, on the flip side? Like, is there a pressure to live up to this exciting, lunatic kind of persona that you built?
I mean, I always, like, in the back of my mind, like, you better – I never get scared about fighting. I don't think anyone gets scared about fighting if you're a fighter. It's performing, going out there and doing what you know what you can do under the lights. That night, that 9 minutes, 15 minutes, 25, whatever it is, going out and doing it that exact moment. And, you know, like, I could go out there and knock Max out in 2 seconds and he's still a great fighter. And it just, you know what I mean? It doesn't, you know, it's, and he could do the same thing to me and I'm still a great fighter. It doesn't matter. It's just going and making sure I can do it that night. And, you know, I get a little bit of anxiety, but every time I'm pushing through my sprints or my doing sprints, then pad rounds and then sparring. And then it's like, I just did fucking 3 hours of, you know, working out and training my ass off. Like, I'm fine with my anxiety. I'll be all right. Let's get the hell in the cage. Like, let's go.
It seems like you do a lot of, like, visualization. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it helps. Yeah, definitely. Helps.
Do you ever, like, I always wonder about this, not being a fighter, right? So do you ever, like, to take pressure off yourself? Like, do you ever visualize, like, worst case and, like, be like, if that happens, I can deal with that. Like, that just takes the pressure off me.
No, because I feel like I'm giving myself an out when I do that. But I just feel like whatever happens, I just need to know, like, I gave my everything. And if I gave my everything, what do I have to be upset about or whatever? Like, sometimes shit doesn't work out. I just don't like to do that because I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm just like making it easy on myself. I know what you're saying, but yeah, I don't like to do that.
Yeah. Gotcha. Like, I just think so many guys are like the fear of losing in front of people and like that.
Oh yeah. It sucks. Big. That's human nature. Who wants to lose or get like, that's human nature. Like it's, that sucks. Yeah. But what if, regardless of me win or lose, that's going to make me a better person. That's going to make me better in whatever I do in my life. So,
yeah, I was just thinking like how to eliminate that pressure we put on ourselves.
It's impossible. I know what you mean. Like, it's just impossible. Cause like what you're talking about is like a good strategy, but I'm just too hard on myself to do it.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like too hard on myself. Cause I feel like I'm just like, why am I trying to make this easy on myself? Like, yeah, it's hard. Just breathe, get through it, and you'll be good.
Accept the difficulty.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Like, if I'm not uncomfortable or not putting myself in a position, what am I doing? Like, right? Like,
yeah, like hunt.
Like, because you get so much anxiety before a fight. Like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? Like, no. Like, this is what I should be doing. This is what I should be feeling. I need to feel this more. But your brain doesn't want you to, so you got to push yourself.
Way too much blonde hair male action going on here.
You just love it.
How long's the flow right now, Drew? Where's it at?
I got it trimmed up a little bit here, but it's barber is keeping it ready for me for getting it braided. But yeah, it's looking nice.
Let's go.
I gotta wear a hat more. I gotta wear a hat more. Get it slicked back more. But we'll work on it now.
No,
me and Hunter will talk. He'll show me his strategies. You know.
No, don't follow my strategy, dude. I'm going bald now, and it's like the saddest thing ever. I'm getting old, bro.
No,
I'm getting old.
Nah, look at all that. You're not going bald. No.
He's hoping length will make up for volume.
That's always
don't let Ryan lie to you. Don't let him lie to you, okay? You're not going bald.
It's all about that length, baby.
I don't even know about this newfound baldness that Hunter's experiencing. This is
private.
Breaking news.
It's very private. It's a hard time for me and my family.
So Drew, Hunter and I we spend a lot of our Fridays lately out working at the new venue.
Nice.
What are your thoughts on there being a full-time combat sports venue in Pittsburgh?
That's what we need. I think that we just need to build up Pittsburgh in general. That's what I was going to go with, like, the training in Pittsburgh. It's, like, hard to have Pittsburgh fights because Pittsburgh's such a small community that you need to be cross-training because you're going to be fighting all these guys from all these other states, right? And, you know, when I'm fighting some guy from the West Coast, there's 10 gyms down his street that he just got work with, and I have to drive 45 minutes just to work with, you know, at the Mat Factory or go to the Academy or whatever it is. So that's just the hard with, I wish we could do more Pittsburgh fights, and that may be what will happen, but we just have to build up the gyms because it's so hard that to cross train, because, you know, you don't want to be training with somebody and then have to fight them, you know, next week. But yeah, just a smaller MMA community in Pittsburgh, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're building that. We're working. We're
yeah, and so I'm all for, you know, I'm all for that. I do want to do a pro kickboxing fight too, you know, coming up here 2025. So let's get that going.
I know a place where you can get that done.
Yeah. I know a guy. I know a guy that could arrange that.
Little caged kickboxing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does. It leads right
into super card, MMA, grappling. Dude, I'm telling you that.
I love it. A little one championship style mixed card. Let's go.
Yeah, I love the mixed card. When he told me there's no grappling on the one, I think I texted him. I was like, boo.
Yeah. It is fun, man.
I will say I like the separate cards. I like a separate grappling from an MMA. And here's the main reason why. Because your MMA people don't come to see grappling.
But they're forced to watch it. I'm not going to not watch it. I'm sitting there now. I have to watch it. And then an MMA fight comes on, and then I'm happy again. And then a grappling comes on. That's like, I get what you're saying, but let's force the people to like it.
I like, the dude that's shirtless with the just bleed on his forehead, like, he's not going to be happy with the grappling. Yeah. He's just not.
It's true. And that's accurate.
That's half our MMA audience, at least.
Yeah, dude.
I agree.
Dude, when you mentioned the pro kickboxing bout, it does lead into something I wanted to ask you. Obviously, you had thought about going pro in MMA in the past, and actually we tried to make that happen, and it fell apart. When are you looking to go pro? Like, what's your career progression looking like at this stage?
Like one or two more, just depending on how I look on these fights. I think I'll prove in the next couple fights that I'm ready to go pro.
Now, who's in on that decision?
I'm going to talk to – hopefully I can get to make a switch to the Mat Factory fully in 2025. Just working – I do two jobs, work from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. sometimes. So there's literally – unfortunately, the Mat, they train a lot, but they don't train after 11 p.m. sometimes, unfortunately.
The nerve.
I'm open a job switch maybe this year and everything to go full-time into pro. I might be quitting my hotel job, hopefully, if I can – figure some stuff out or not have to do my second job, and then I can go to the Mat Factory in the mornings and stuff like that. So I just gotta focus on one job and figure some stuff out. So that all depends on that, but hopefully if I can make that all work, pro 2025.
Dude, I'm laughing because you said that you might quit your hotel job while you're at your hotel job, bro.
This has been a long time coming. I need to get I've been here a couple years. I just want to find something, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. And, yeah, and when you turn pro,
hotel is great. It's just like you have to work holidays, weekends, all the time. If someone calls off, you have to come in a lot when you're manager. So it's just a lot of stuff that doesn't work when you want to do other things with like fighting and stuff. It just isn't the best thing, but it worked out. Got me, you know, got me some money while we got the thumb healed up. That was honestly the main thing why I got in here, because I got hurt in that fight in 2022 with you guys.
Yeah.
Do you have a degree?
No, I went to community college for a little bit, but no, I started my own youth sports business. I do that on the side as well too. I have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff going on. I just need to pick a couple of them and really rub them up.
And obviously I assume fighting is, if you could just pick one to go for 100%, fighting's the one that, you know, that's
correct. Yeah. I just, yeah. When you have a puppy and a girlfriend and, you know, your parents hate it, you know, and they will hate you if that's what you pick and it's not working out. It's like, no, they wouldn't hate me, but it's, no, just a lot of stuff. I try to, you know, I like to take risks, but also you need to do calculated risks at the same time. Right. So pick and choose. I really hope fighting. I really want to put everything in the next 5-6 years, you know, retire when I'm 35, 36 years old. So that would give me 6 or 7 years and I could actually, you know, I think I've wrestled my whole life and I don't think it's too late for me to make a run for it because I've worked at something my whole life. You know, people, I've already done a lot of the hard parts, just got to keep grinding and, you know, hopefully, you know, keep fighting for you guys and get on like a Bellator, PFL stage, stuff like that, you know, maybe UFC, but whatever pays the most, dude. I just want paid money.
Make that money. World runs
make
on
that money, dude. That's what I'm saying. I'll go fight in freaking North Korea if that's where they're paying, you know.
They'd love you.
No, please.
The lunatic in North Korea. Let's go.
Could you imagine?
I don't know that the lunatic would make it out.
That's beautiful. But yeah, dude, I mean, it's always an honor. Like I said, the moment we signed this fight, I know I texted you and said, like, this is one of the most hyped amateur fights that we've ever put on. And I genuinely believe that. I think this matchup's amazing. I think the two personalities coming together makes for a super fun fight. And then the fighting style on top of that, it's just the best matchup that we could possibly do. So I'm happy to get you back in there, brother. It feels right. Feels right to have it happening.
No, I'm pumped. Like, and you know, you never really want to fight a Pittsburgh guy just because I was saying you like cross training and everything like that. But you know, I haven't been training at the Mat Factory too much. So before I go there full time, maybe, you know, probably, you know, fight one of the stout guys and then no more fighting stout guys after this, just because I just want everything. Everything cool. Just want to be training, man.
Nice. Well, I love it, man. Ryan, do you have anything else, or I'm going to let him get back to work? I feel like I'm stealing him from angry hotel guests.
I don't know. I have lots of weird questions.
Give me one.
The questions I have, like, like since I've been, you know, promoting, like I've kind of like what I look at and what I look for in fights is different now than like 5 years ago. Like,
what do you want to see on? What do you want to see from me on Saturday? Let's talk about
that.
No,
it's not even that. As far as like things I think about, like I don't think about like the surface stuff anymore. Like I think about the psychology of the sport and just like understanding, you know, I think the sport is so, there's so much psychology in MMA compared to like other sports. It's more physicality and you need to be an intelligent football player and things like that. But the psychology of standing in a cage where another dude wants to take your head off and like understanding that and like seeing fighters develop in their mentality as they develop, you know, as an amateur and as a pro, and seeing people understand it and get it. And like, I think that's the biggest thing with like the difference between a 5-0 guy and a 2-3 guy that's solid is like this, but the psychology can be the part that's the biggest factor where there's a gap.
you're dead on, and that's part of, like, I think fighting. Would you fight each time? I'm building my psychology, right? From what Ethan Goss was calling one of my fights. He was like, these guys look like totally different fighters, you know, from like a couple fights, and I'll hopefully in three more fights, I'll probably hopefully look like a completely different fighter, like you said. And it's pretty crazy. Like you said, you don't play three football games, right? And you're like a super much better football player, right? But you fights, and you could do three fights within, you know, 4 months. Like, it doesn't, sometimes you can do three fights that quick, and it's still, you level up that much. And it is a crazy psychology game. And I do think, you know, most people that get in fights, it really isn't that bad. It's hard for me to tell people that. It's really not that bad to get in a fight. Like, it's more just the psychology of the fight. Like, the fight actually isn't bad, but it's just getting yourself to it. That's the hardest part. Like, if most people would just get in there, they'd be like, that wasn't that bad. I'd be like, I told you it wasn't that bad. But it's just working yourself up to get in there, and you just think the worst is going to happen, right? Like, you know, like, hopefully, I don't know if anyone really died in MMA. I know boxing they have and everything, but you know, you're signing up to, you, I could die like that, and someone can die. But, like, you know, that's the worst thing you think about, and you try not to think it, but that's what could happen. So that's always in the back of your mind with the psychology part. Like, oh, what if this happens? What if this happens? Yeah. What if a meteor comes in and smashes into my house? Like, we can play this what if game all day. Let's just go in. And if something bad happens, deal with it after.
I mean, what you just said, what I relate most to that is like I went skydiving once and I loved it, but like,
oh, that's sweet.
Oh, it's awesome. But like, and I had no fear until we're climbing up on this little plane, and like, and I'm like, wait, this plane is just fine. Like, what? I'm going to jump out of it. Like, that's weird. And once I jumped, it was awesome. Like, there was no, like, it wasn't as bad as I thought, right?
Yeah.
But like, getting to that point was, it was nerve-wracking.
Yeah. And so many people would live better lives if they can get past that point of that, their brain. You know, David Goggins, that's why I recommend anyone to listen to him. You know, if you don't have to do the workouts or anything, just mentally, he'll help you push through like little stuff. We're all better than we, you know, put out, because our brain stops us from being better, you know, going skydiving, getting in a cage fight, you know, go driving a race car, whatever it is, you know, you're going to be scared, and, you know, bad stuff can happen, but you can't always, you got to just try to push through. That's why I try to tell my girlfriend the most too. We both, you know, I do the same thing. We try to push each other to, you know, be better with not just
prettier than the other one.
Bro, that's a tough battle with Drew Landefeld. I mean, I'm sorry, Gabby. I know Gabby has great hair too, but we're talking about Drew.
No, she's got me beat. She's got all the hair products, making sure it looks good, so she gets all the credit.
That's awesome, man. Dude, that was a great answer too. See, everybody thinks Drew Landefeld is this wild, crazy guy in the cage, but you hear how logical and reasonable that answer was? Dude's got a brain under all that hair too.
He understands the consequences of not saying
that. Yeah, like, you can make a mistake once or twice, maybe three times, but like four or five, that's gonna get beat.
Yeah, you learn. You learn the hard way. When you're a lunatic, you still learn, right?
Yeah. I'll come into work, and then like my other coworker will be like, Gabby beat you up. I'm like, yeah. She got me. Got me good.
It happened. Well, that's awesome, dude. We're a little over a week away. So with just being this close to the fight, you know, weigh-ins in exactly a week, how does the mentality change for you now? Like, over the next week, what kind of mode will you settle into?
Yeah, weigh-ins will be in exactly, literally 1 week this time, right, guys?
Right. Yeah.
Right? Literally. Right, everybody? Yeah.
He knows.
No, usually you guys are pretty spot on with it. Usually it's pretty quick. Sometimes the athletic commission, though, you know, it's like, where are these guys?
We can actually, only control so much.
If you compare us to other states and other promotions, it's not.
Oh, no, you guys do good.
I've heard nightmare stories. As a matter of fact,
Oh, 2 hours. I've waited 2 hours 2 hours.
Yeah. I
was like, all right, this is fight's not that important. I'm just about to get eat some Chipotle. This is ridiculous. This is going on 2 hours now. But no, they got there 2 hours later and we waited.
And then, like, we always, even with amateurs, we're day before. Like, when people find that out, they're like, oh, my gosh.
I know. That was, I think Tariq saw that in the thing. He was like, you guys just made my week, like, amazing. I was like, yeah, that's honestly, I think, why I don't think you guys literally have me as an amateur fighter for now. Just because, like, I won't fight just because I've told Hunter I won't fight for anybody that's day of, unfortunately. Just can't put on the performance that I need to with cutting weight, unfortunately, but I don't think anybody should be allowed to fight day of. That's insane.
I agree.
Like, that should just, because they're trying to keep, I get what they're trying to do, and they're trying to keep fighters safe by, they're like, oh, they won't cut weight if we do this. No,
yes, they will.
They will. And then you have a shitty fight now because you guys decided, and you guys are already doing weigh-ins for mostly, usually the pros, anyways. You get it all the time.
Well,
it's like backwards.
Yeah, for us, you know, because we almost always have pro fights, but now we're going to have pro fights on every card. So we're going back to that. But
I like that, though. I really think there should be pro fights on every card. I love when you guys, and especially you guys, hammer some pro fights on, like, you know,
we're always trying to put pro fights on cards.
And like, you saw, you guys, like, you don't put, like, you guys don't put one good one. You guys put like four. You know, like, it's like, all right, boom, 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 boom. You know, a lot of other promotions can only put on like one good pro fight that you're like, you know, that you're looking forward to. So that's the cool thing with you guys.
Dude, when we had 9 in one card, like, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was insane.
That was.
And like, we had 12 or 13 that day.
We had both Chase sisters. We had, Karma. Crazy. We had Karma. We had Gina Morelli. We had
Morelli
Patton.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's
Jay Manning.
Patton's. Yeah, Patton's gonna. I can't wait for him to fight again. Holy crap! I was unfortunate what happened to his last fight.
It was, man.
That was terrible. I know. That was like, that's just an unfortunate situation. Well, like that. And like, there's always a reason for something. So like, that's like, you know, he'll come back better and everything, you know, will be okay. But it just sucks that, like, that's, you know, the way it is, especially because he's been on such a tear too, you know, against, he's fighting such a good fighter. Just,
and that was
crappy,
that
situation
was set up to be so good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that fight was going to be so good. Like, a super high quality fight.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, you'll have him on a show coming up here probably in 2025. You know, he's one of the most active fighters in Pittsburgh, so he'll be fine. So, yeah, I'm just excited for you guys to have a big year in 2025.
We're matching him for February, so. We're just hoping we can get it done soon. Sooner the better.
Yeah, it's going to get harder to match him every fight, huh?
Absolutely. It's harder to when guys go on winning streaks like this, people just stop looking at them. They just see like a bunch of wins in a row and they're like, no, they don't even like, they don't look further. They're like, he's on a 6-fight winning. Then no.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to be, I don't want to be 7. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what people don't understand is how hard it is to find, like, our matchmakers are learning that, like, it's so hard to find fights, especially with
And like, you think a fight will work out, like, I mean, Hunter talking, I was like something, just asked him a question, like, I wasn't even harassing him anything now, and he was just like, yeah, trust me, dude, like, no, makes sense, but this is what, this fighter wouldn't take this fight, this but that, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, man, sounds about right. So some people just don't want to. And sometimes matchups just don't work for people, right? Like, a coach will just be like watching them, like, nope, like, it's just, you really don't have a good fight. You have like an 80% chance or 20% chance to win this fight. I don't like it. And a lot of people don't like going into a fight being like, you know, you have a 15-20% chance on paper. Like, it's not.
Yeah. I don't think we offer those fights. I think, I think some people may perceive that.
That's what I'm saying. From like the coach's point of view, like that's what would be like. that's like that you don't have much of a chance, man. Like when it might not even be that of whatever, but that's just, yeah. People don't like going in there. They like to have an edge. They like to have an advantage. They like to have something going into the, you know, that makes them like, there's a reason people take fights, right? Like they against Max, they think they can beat me for some reason. Like there's something that they think, you know, I just wanted to fight. Yeah, you gave me like four options. You're like, no, this is the only one. I was like, all right, well, let's do it. So, yeah, people take fights because they think they can win them. Like some people will take fights just because they're dogs, but there's a small percentage of those left, which makes it harder for you guys to match.
Well, that's the funny thing is like if someone listen, people think it's easy to match. Like open invitation. Come try to find some bouts and see the amount of hours you spend just to find one fight. One fight is probably, on average, 20, 30 hours. It's,
yeah.
I'm not joking. I'm not like,
no, I believe that.
Yeah. Like now, this is when you're looking for a fighter. Some fights come together every once in a while. We'll get like maybe three or four fights on a card that are like that, where they just kind of come together and like, it's like we'll sit when we first start matching a card and we'll put together some like fantasy bouts and like we might have 12, 15 of those and like two of them like work right off the bat. Like, and that's great. And that's why it's great to have like certain guys that might be like out of towners that like consider us like Timbo Slice. Like,
yeah,
Timbo's easy to match because he doesn't have those allegiances, but he's like our guy. And like that's awesome, and we want to like having more like that.
Dog fight anybody too. Like Nick's like a tough fight gets him. Like, you know, he's one of the rare people that like, oh, like he doesn't care. You know, like he's like, oh, this guy's really good striker, or grappler. He'd be like, oh, whatever. Like, sweet, let's go. It's like, all right.
He fought Eddie. Eddie weighs like 500
pounds. On short notice.
Yeah.
He fought him because he was just like something fell through with his opponent, you know, for the title. He's like, all right, well, I want to get to this title one way or another, right? So this guy's in my way. I gotta fight him. Like, that's cool. I like that. Like, that's, yeah, I love Timbo, like, you know, and that's why I think, like, you know, you don't have to have bad blood if you fight. Like, it's just, you know, Timbo's my boy now. Like, we're good, you know, it's all good.
Well, that's the thing. I think more often than not, guys have a certain bond and level of respect after a fight than, you know, they might not have ever respected that person or like thought they were, you know, and then you go to war with someone, even if it's against them. Shit. And like, there's a certain bond that like, unless you have bad blood from the beginning, like you're going to have a bond after that bout in like 95% of the time.
And even if you do have bad blood, you see guys that have hate each other before the fight and you beat the shit out of each other for how like 15, 25 minutes. You're like, all right, like you're really not that bad of a guy. Like, all right, well, get out of here.
We're guys. That's how we're built. Like,
And that's what we just needed.
All of my best friends and I beat the crap out of each other when we were younger. Yeah. And then it was over. Like we were friends again.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what this is. It'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be a great fight. Yeah, he's a great fighter. I'm a great fighter. So see who can do it better Saturday night.
Hell yeah. That's awesome, man. We can't wait. Obviously, we've had this fight circled on the calendar for a long time, man. This whole card's a banger. For people who want tickets from you and want to support you, man, how can they do that?
247 Fighting Championships. Make sure you hit that link. It's gonna be a packed crowd. Make sure you guys get tickets. A lot of people have been hitting me up, so don't wait. Make sure you get them now.
Love it.
Other way? 247, right? Just 247.
Best 247 fighting.com. Get your tickets.
Only way. Don't get scammed. You nailed it.
Bro, the
don't get scammed.
Are so out of control.
Luke hates some of those, dude. Luke is literally the man. After our interview, whatever, he's just like going on for like another like minute 30 about the scammers. I was like, yeah, you're not getting anything past this guy. This guy needs to be the one making sure. Like, so yeah, you never need anything on the scammer thing. Make sure you got Luke for you, because dude, yeah, he was He's awesome.
So just want everyone to know this, okay? Luke Payson, if he ever messages you or texts you or anything like that, email, whatever it might be, if it's written, it was voice to text. He doesn't type anything. And then he doesn't check it. So if there's some ridiculous word in the middle that doesn't like make any sense, it's voice to text. Try to
figure it out. I do that too. So everybody needs to know that, because everyone's like, oh, Drew's just a dumb fighter probably. No, I do the voice to text. I know how to talk. I know everything. But sometimes Android does it a lot better than the iPhone though. So if you have an Android, you can do voice to text better. iPhone. I did it in front of Ben Schwager. I like said a whole thing. He was like, that all worked? Every word of that? I was like, yeah, I didn't have to switch anything. Like, it worked perfectly. So, but yeah, I do that talk to text too. Let's go, Luke. It's my boy right there. And any fighters, if he texts you, make time for him, dude. Yeah, dude is the man. Like, you guys giving us a platform to talk about our sponsors and everything like that. And I'm just so grateful for that too. So thank you, Luke. Nice. MMA fan cast, let's go.
Fully agree. Luke is the man. Luke is absolutely the man. And if you guys like listening to Drew, take his lead and go listen to his interview with Luke Payson for a little different side of it. You know, we each do things a little differently. So if you want to hear a different side of Drew,
Ethan Goss is on there. Chris Rollins, he's got Elijah's. Like, that's, you can literally hear from every fighter before you guys go watch them. Like, that's pretty
cool. Absolutely.
Luke Payson, I think you found a new spokesman.
Yeah.
Let's go.
MMA, and a pretty good security guard, too. And a pretty good security guard. So.
Not bad. Not a bad one, that's for sure. Well, let's go, dude. We got Drew Landefeld versus Max Jarrell next Saturday, December 21st at the Monroeville Convention Center. If you guys liked hearing from the lunatic himself live from a hotel, takes time out of his day job just to talk to you fine folks, should support him by getting a ticket for that fight. You already heard that it's going to be a sick fight, and all I can say is go to 247 Live, watch Drew's past fights, and you will believe every word of that. This dude can't put on a boring fight, and Max Jarrell can't put on a boring fight, so I have a feeling when you put them together, it's going to be a fun fight.
Let's go. I'm pumped, man. Can't wait to put on a show for you guys. I know he's going to come and put on a show, so that just makes me more excited. But I needed that to, like, push me through my training camp. It gave me my extra training sessions, like, you know, everything I needed. So it's going to be – I've 9 minutes of fucking everything in me, so can't wait, guys. Love it, man.
A motivated lunatic is a scary lunatic, so I hope you guys enjoyed this talk with Drew Landefeld. We're going to have Max next week, actually, on the podcast. So, Drew, you can tune in and hear what he thinks about the matchup as well. Sweet. And all you viewers, tune back in to hear from the other half of this insane fight. And then we'll see you Saturday at the Monroeville Convention Center. But, yeah, dude, right, thanks for hopping on, brother. Really appreciate it, man.
See you guys Friday. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Later, man.
Later, brother. See you, boys. See you, guys.
Peace, everyone.
See you, Rye Guy.